Good evening, this is How Much is the Doggy? And this is a continuation of the podcast Thoughts on Leaving Japan. Now, I talked a little bit about education before this, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about it tonight. Now, one aspect of the schools would be the school uniforms. Now, I think they're fairly famous outside of Japan, but maybe not for the right reasons. The uniforms here are regarded as sort of a pride thing, but also a very, very strong fetish thing is involved as well, which I'm sure most red-blooded males in the Western world are at least vaguely familiar with. And the Japanese girls who wear these uniforms do unfortunately cash in on this to make a little bit of money on the side, but there's more about that in the next podcast, so keep listening. So I was talking about the school, the 6-day week. Now recently they switched to a 5-day week, but generally, how long would they be in school normally? Well, it sort of does stretch well into the evenings and with clubs and other activities. Well, why would this happen? Well, some people might look at the bright side and say, well, it's a good place for the kids to be while their parents are working. And the more cynical of us, like myself, may say that they are being conditioned to a life in a different uniform, that is, a company uniform, where you put the needs of your assigned group ahead of your own needs, and the needs especially of your family, they come way, way down the list. The group comes first, always, from the very, very start. But I think the biggest scam that goes on as regards education is the whole concept of cram schools. Now, I'm not sure what they're called in America, but in Ireland and England we call them grind schools. And when I was going to school, the only people who used to go to grind school were stupid people. Okay, not stupid people. You might have been a bit weak in one subject and you needed a little bit of a boost up. But you find that practically every kid in Japan goes to grinds. Because if you want to get into college in Japan, they are an essential part of the education system. Because you don't learn in school what you need to pass these massive tests that they give to get into the universities. And the people who set the exams are the very people who will go on to set up their own cram schools when they retire. Now, does anyone see anything a little bit suspect about that? You set the questions, and when you retire, you set up a school to teach the things that will be on the tests. Right? Add to that if you're in the Board of Education, or you're in the government, in the education department, and you're setting the curriculum for the schools to not include what's going to be asked in the university tests, how can a kid who doesn't go to cram school possibly get into university, unless they're super intelligent? The only way they can get into university and on to get into a good job, etc., etc., is to go to school and go to cram school and line the pockets of the people who set these standards. It's pure and utter cronyism. I mean, they will have plenty of business, as it is an unwritten law in Japan that you mind those who've gone before you in the way you would like to be minded when you retire yourself. And I think this is something that's prevalent in almost every aspect of Japanese business. Now, there's a similar scam that operates in regards driving licenses, and I've come across this personally myself. Generally, the people who own the driving schools are retired police officers. Okay, nothing strange there, same in Ireland. But of the driving license division, okay, that's a little bit strange now. The people who do the tests when they retire set up driving schools. Okay. Now, getting a license in Japan can cost somewhere in the region of $5,000. That's if you're lucky. you have to do a lot of driving school, and you have to pay for that. And then when you sit your test, you have to pay for the test. And generally, everyone fails their test at least once. So that's good news and good repeat business for the schools. Like I said, it's cronyism. The people who are in the driving center, when they retire, will go out to set up their schools, and the people who come in afterwards, the old guys will go back and introduce them and say, keep sending business our way, and when it's your turn now, you'll get people sent your way. It's the way it's been done for years, and don't you be the one to upset the apple cart. And nobody does. So another aspect of that would be, maybe on a higher level, would be it costs so much to get a driving license, as I said, around $5,000. What people were doing was they would go away to America, where I don't know myself, maybe somebody can fill me in on it, but it's quite easy to get a driving license, or was at one stage. And it would be cheaper to get a holiday, go stay in America for a week, maybe do a couple of cheap driving lessons, get your license, come back, and apply to get your license transferred to a Japanese license, which a lot of people were doing, and there was a loophole there to do it until the government closed it. I bet the guy who signed that bill into law got a nice little bonus for himself from the Federation of Driving License and Driving Schools. Now, it's cronyism like this that we really need to avoid, and it only occurs when the government and the business world are in bed with each other. It's the only time it happens. If you had a fair and impartial government, would this happen? I don't think so. So it's something to learn by. Now, I talked about it before, I think in the last podcast, about learning by kata and learning by a method that has been handed down through the generations, as I said, learning by rote. And something that I've noticed the last couple of years, and I think that it's the Japanese only realizing it themselves, the mistake that they've made in just mass producing drones who will do the job that they're given. One or two bright ones might come through the system to help them out, but generally it's you get a job. I've seen it in the factory. You get a job, you throw 10 guys at it, and they'll solve it eventually because they're working 18-hour days. There's 10 guys working on it. You're going to get an answer eventually. You're going to get the right answer. And as opposed to getting one bright guy to sit down for a couple of hours and fix the problem. So that's a lot of what I see. But then again, while the rest of the world shot off in a new direction in the early 90s with the internet and the IT business in general, Japan was left lagging behind. It was a totally new concept. They didn't have a clue what was going on. And even when I arrived in Japan many, many years ago, the internet was prohibitively expensive, very, very slow, and they were looking to get just Japanese sites. They didn't want them accessing any of the information from the outside world. But you get on the internet now, you can log on to practically anything, and it's super fast connections. I think some of the best connections in the world here in Japan. And you might say, well, your theory that the Japanese government didn't want them to read what was being written and what was being said in the news from other corners of the world is complete rubbish. But think about this. All the information is out there. What's the point of it being out there if you can't even read it? As I said before, the standard of English is so bad that all this information is out here, and the vast majority of the public are just afraid to read it and have no confidence in going out and reading it. So there was a big boom in the internet because they realized there was a big commercial side to it as well. So when they realized that, and that there was no danger of the sheep getting a bit more educated than they were, the internet business opened up. It's all about boxes, keeping people in their boxes, and that's how you get to control people. Well, I think that's about enough for this particular section of the podcast. I welcome your comments and your questions as usual. Good night.